I mean, I had the situation where I had a sweatshirt. We had a Christmas exchange, and I drew a lady's name, and she asked, I got her a hooded sweatshirt, and she liked it, but she wanted just a bigger size. And boy, oh boy, what a hassle just getting a different size. I bought it. I probably shouldn't say the store, but I bought it from Meijer.
Don't say the store.
Yeah. So I thought, well, there's a Meijer down by what? So I'll just take
it back.
Don't
say the
there.
Store.
Yeah. So I go in there with this sweatshirt in hand, the receipt, everything. You got a call?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Let me take it.
Yeah.
Hi, we're on the air.
Yeah, isn't there a little saying, when the cats play, the mice will play? And today, we got three little mice. See how they run. Ooh, ooh, ooh. Exciting show today.
Hey, Teddy, what's going on?
That is so true.
Yes.
That is so true.
That's right. Oh, I cut out again.
No, that's what he had. Oh, did you cut out again? Yeah, the show with no name is having a headphone with no sound.
Yeah. So,
but anyhow, your return. Are you back?
No.
No.
Somebody talk. We're having technical
difficulties. Yeah, yeah. There you go. Hey, we got another call coming
go ahead.
In here.
Yeah.
Hi, we're on the air.
Yeah, Nate, you need to mess with the microphone. He's been saying every morning that somebody's messing with the buttons on the microphone or something.
Oh, there you go. Okay, yeah, I know what microphone he always uses. It's the one I'm using now, so I tweak a few knobs, and there we go.
Yeah, I'll hear it tomorrow when he comes in.
He'll start off, have his nice little intro there, and then boom, nothing.
who won the McDonald's gift certificate?
You did, Lee.
Did I? Good.
Yeah, you won it. I'll be sending it in the mail to you.
Okay, cool, Nate.
All right, buddy.
Okay, thanks.
Take care.
Bye.
Bye-bye. All right. Hey, I'm going to do a little. Try this one here and give me Terry's.
Okay.
And we're going to do a little bit of. Okay. There we go.
There we go. Now we're back. Okay.
But, all right.
But can you hear?
Yeah.
Barely, but I'm good.
You all right?
I'm okay. Okay. I'm okay. If we get a caller, I'll let you guys listen to him. Let me see that one. Yeah. Okay.
Bear with us here. We're having a little technical difficulties here. This first Nate's first day on the job here.
So this is my first in job. I've never done radio before.
he applied, and we felt sorry for him, so we brought him in, and you know, and he was cold, so we gave him some food and gave him shelter, and so now he's working off his supper now.
He's
so.
Used to flying solo.
That's right. I think with me now we're at the weight capacity. I don't think we can handle it. We're like in an elevator. I think we're at the.
You weigh all three of us. Yeah, and yeah. Let's see. What would we be? What would we be?
It would say to be continued. No, just kidding. But I get this sweatshirt. Because I told you we had this gift exchange. So I get this sweatshirt. I take the sweatshirt back. You know, I got my receipt in hand, the sweatshirt in the bag. I thought, man, this will be an easy exchange. I'll just get the next size up, no problem. I go in there. Well, of course, me being the dummy I am, I didn't realize that certain areas carry certain merchandise. Not all merchandise is carried in every area. Well, this particular sweatshirt was not carried at this other store. It was exclusive just to, you know, the stores in this area.
Oh.
So that was the first strike against me, so I couldn't take it back. The second thing was I said, okay, well, can I just get a store credit and then can I just get the next brand, you know, up from the one that I got? Well, couldn't do that because the next brand up at this store was like $60 and I only paid like $21 something for this sweatshirt. So I said, well, can I have the store credit? I'll put the money with it, and then I couldn't do that because they didn't carry that merchandise, so they wouldn't be able to resell that merchandise that I had, you know, to exchange. So they couldn't. So I said, "Well, what are my options?" And the lady at the customer service counter said, "Well, I'm sorry, you're going to have to take it back to, you know, to Marion where you got it." So here I am lugging this thing back because I told the girl, I said, "Well, I'll have it for you tomorrow." So of course I have to lug this thing back now. Now here's another day burnt. So I go to the store in Marion. I explain to them exactly the same thing that happened. You know, the lady there, no problem. She said, go over there, you know, and see what, you know, I'm sure we got different sizes of this sweatshirt. Okay, right. Wonderful. I go over there. I'm rummaging through everything. Same size, same color, no bigger sizes. So at this point, I'm panicking. You know, I'm like, oh, boy. Because she really liked the sweatshirt, and I wanted to give it to her. And so I'm panicking, you know. And so once again, I try to make the same pitch with them. You know, I'm like, hey, well, can I get the next one, you know, the next one up? Nope, it's $40-some, you know, or, you know, there. And it was different than the one that was $60 that I couldn't get at the other. So they wouldn't let me do that.
Let you do it.
Yeah. Oh. So I'm like, at this point, I'm just flustered, man. I'm like, okay. So at the 11th hour here, as I'm like I say, panicking, you know, frantically, I don't know what to do. This guy comes up and he says, hey, he says, come with me. He said, we got a pallet of some sweatshirts back that we actually were supposed to have for Halloween, but he said they didn't come in till just like a couple of days ago.
He's like,
which of course, go. Everyone's going through with the inventory, you know, the shipping and all that stuff. So I go back there and he just cut this pallet open. And I mean, these things were really, really nice. And, I said, well, how much are these? And he said, well, normally they were like $30, but he said, you know, we got them marked down to like 15 or something. And he said, they're men's. And I said, well, I'm not going to tell if you don't. So so I get one of these and I take it up there and I said, okay, can I do this then? I said, can I exchange this one I have and get this one?
Yeah.
Well, lo and behold, I could do that.
Okay.
So I take that one up. They do the exchange, and I get $6 back.
Hey, all right.
So,
come out ahead.
So I said, you know what? I said, with all the hassle that I've been through, I'm taking this $6, and I'm going to get me like a drink, you know, like a Coke or a milkshake, something. I said, it's I've been through a hassle here, you know, for a couple of days. But I can understand now the frustration level of people because you know, like I say, that was a very frustrating. I can see now why, like, Amazon does well and all these other places, you know, online. Because if the online return policy is as bad as the brick and mortar return policy, we're in trouble.
Yeah.
Because also to throw into the equation, of course, like everybody's going through, you got a lack of help. You know, and the people that are there trying to cover, of course, maybe that's not their area, so they don't really know, like, the policies and procedures and things like that. So, and then on top of it, you just got shoppers everywhere, because, of course, it's after Christmas, so everyone's kind of, like, frantic and looking for sales and stuff, and I think my ankles got hit a few times by carts, and, you know, I got grocery carts coming at me, and I got...
That's why the online policy is... Send it back.
Yeah. So now I think I'm going to institute a policy next year, gift cards only. Which Scott hates that policy, but I don't care. Gift cards only is all you're getting.
We did a lot of gift cards this year.
They're so much more convenient. And, you know, a lot of people, my family love them because what they'll do is they'll go around after Christmas. Of course, you can find really good deals, and sometimes you can turn a $50 gift card and maybe get $75 worth of merchandise for, you know, I mean, if you find the right sales and stuff, you know, and things like that. But just, I can understand why people are frustrated, you know, I mean, trying to return something, because man.
Unless you get a gift card to Starbucks,
exactly.
They're always closed.
Yeah. You know, speaking of that, I went to the Lewis Center one. I went to the Pizza Hut there, and right beside it is a Starbucks. 99.9% of the time, this place has them wrapped around the building. 3 o'clock in the afternoon, closed.
Yeah, I know.
I literally had to take a picture and say, no way. I've never in my life seen a Starbucks closed at 3 o'clock in the afternoon.
Yeah.
I got to tell you what I ran into on Tuesday.
Uh-huh.
Monday. The Arby's that is in the pilot gas station at 71 and 60 and State Route 61.
Yep.
That exit.
Man, that play, that's a busy.
You know, and I went in there, and the Arby's was closed, and they had signs up, and it said, "We will be closed from 4:30 till 11:30 due to staffing problems. That's right there during dinner.
That's the worst part of
that's dinner. I mean, that's their, like, busiest time.
The other day, I was at the Burger King in Delaware waiting on my food, and the lady there said they have to close at 6 o'clock at night, said they have no help after 6 o'clock. She said their hours are 10 to 6. And I thought, what, same thing? I thought, you're missing all this dinner, right? And she said, yeah, just nobody to...
Nobody to help.
I think she said it was like 3 days a week they had to do like 10 to 6, like I want to say Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, she told me.
I was reading where, you know, everybody's got these staffing problems. And I was reading that they said that when, you know, all these people that were laid off and put on unemployment and that during the pandemic, that 4.5 million workers have decided not to go back to work.
Wow.
They've either taken their baby boomers that have took early retirement, or they're women that are decided to stay at home mm-hmm. with their kids.
Mm-hmm.
Even when they went back to school, they're taking their kids out of the school. And there's other people that have got different jobs. So there's like 4.5 million.
Yeah, so somebody was talking about that today. Yeah. They said something about it was on 60 Minutes, I guess. They said there was a name for them. I can't think of what they call, but it said something about they interviewed these people and they said that when they got called back, they refused to go, you know, because like you said, they'd either gotten other jobs or some different things happened in their life or, you know, or something like that. And it was, I knew the number was way up there. I never heard, but like, 4.5 million. I mean, that's a lot of people.
Sure is.
But they said right now you could literally get the job you wanted right now. Like your dream job, basically, you could get right now.
So I could have Scott Spears' job?
Absolutely. You could be the interviewer to the stars. Yeah. Right now.
Just don't mess with your diet.
Yes. Yeah. The pay's great.
That's why he drives that big fancy
That's
car.
That's right. That's right. Yeah.
But it is something to see, you know, the different places that are closed because of staffing issues. Let's see. Hi, we're on the air.
Yeah, the staffing shortage has really been good in some ways because a lot of places have finally had to pay their employees a little bit better to have some employees.
That, you know, that was going to bring up my next point is I talked to 4 or 5 young people, and I asked them, you know, like what the problem is, why a lot of young people are not working. And that is almost exactly 100% what they told me. They said this is their revolt against all these high-priced CEOs that make billions of dollars but refused in the past to pay. They complain about having to pay $15 an hour.
Yeah. You know, so this is kind of adjusting itself a little
bit. So they said this is their way of basically kind of shoving it in their, you know, in their face, so to speak, you know. And
most people that work for minimum wage are close.
Yeah.
They're the ones that do a lot of work.
That's what they're arguing. I talked to probably 4 or 5 young people at Kroger and then about 4 or 5 young people, and I got pretty much the same answer across the board.
Yeah, so,
you know, that's helping there, and maybe...
They said it's easier for them now to grab 3 or 4 of their buddies and all move in together and split expenses than it is to... The one gentleman I talked to, he works at Home Depot, but he also works part-time at Costco. He said he got hired at Costco $18 an hour, worked 16 hours a week. But he said the way they do it is, he said if you work the weekends there, you get time and a half. So he works 10 hours on Sunday, makes $27 an hour, and he said that's enough to cover his expenses.
Yeah. Wow. Maybe some of these companies will start off in a little bit better health care.
Yeah,
the trend has been, you know, they've been cutting health care.
Absolutely, absolutely. And that's what he said, man. He said he was talking to somebody there, because, of course, he's part-time, but he said he was talking to some full-timers there, $3.50 a week for their insurance.
Yeah.
Well, that's one of the things that happens when everybody needs workers, that forces the employees to come up with either pay more or give better benefits or have better hours, but it forces the employers to be creative.
He said that's why you're seeing these businesses flourish like Uber and DoorDash, and you know, because he said they can be their own boss and they don't have to really answer to anybody per se, you know, or anything like that. And he said that's what they're looking for now.
And they can work when they want.
Absolutely.
To.
He said. He had this printout that he showed me, the one guy I spoke to, he goes to Columbus State, he works at Kroger, he had this printout, and he was telling me he's on this focus committee or something, and that's kind of one of the areas that they were studying. He had this printout that said 33% of a person's life is spent at work. And he said, we don't want to do that. He said, we're over that. And he was telling me, like I say, about his situation. They have a condo that him and four of his, it's him and his girlfriend and another couple live there. It's a 3-bedroom, 2-bath condo, $1,050 a month, and they split it four ways.
Oh, okay.
And he said his girlfriend, if I'm not mistaken, I'll probably get this restaurant wrong, but I thought he said she worked at Jay Gilbert's, which is a really high-end steakhouse in Columbus. She'd been there a couple of years, and she was going to leave. And they pulled her off to the side. The management team did and said, we'll give you $10 an hour plus tips. And they gave her all the good shifts, Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday night, Sunday. And he said on one night, I can't remember if it was a Friday or Saturday, she made $300 in tips.
Yeah, they can make good money.
But $10 an hour as a waitress.
Yeah, that's plus... When you work at a place like that, they get good tips anyhow.
Yeah, I couldn't believe it though. But he said she's got a little jar at home, and that's where they throw all of her tips in. And he said they got, you know, she was building up that fund, you know, pretty good. But he said he makes enough at that one day at Costco to pay his half of everything, and he said that's all we need.
Yep.
So. I don't like these places that the gratuity is already. Like when you used to go to the warehouse here.
Yeah, they automatically figure it into your bill.
Yeah, they automatically put it in your bill, whether you got good service or not.
Yeah, I'm with you. I don't like that. The other day, I went to pick up a carry-out pizza, and the guy had already rang it up as, you know, and I said, well, I don't know if I want to tip you. All you're doing is ringing up my order. I don't know if I want to tip you for that.
A carry-out pizza, and then he rung up
the tip? Yeah, I went down to, it's that Pizza Hut Express there. I think it's what it's called, Lewis Center there, and I went to pick up a pizza, and I looked at my receipt. And I said, well, how's come this was so much? And it, because he figured it in. I got just like a $10, you know, the $10 pizza taste box, I think. Well, the bill was like 14-something. And I said, well, you know, with the tax. And then I looked on the receipt, and it was tax. And then it was a 15% gratuity automatically added to it. And I said, all this guy did was ring it up.
Oh, my God. That's...
Yeah.
I would have complained about that.
I was halfway going. I said, man, it just bothered me. I said, how? I don't think I've ever paid $14 or $15 for that. And I started looking at the receipt, and it was like $2.12 or 15 cents was the tip.
We probably figured a lot of people wouldn't even look at the receipt. You know?
Yep.
Yeah, well, of course, and with me paying with a debit card, I mean, that's the last, you know, you don't really, you're kind of in a hurry. You just want to get it.
Yeah, that's what you probably figured, you know?
Yep.
All right. Well, thanks for calling, man. I appreciate it.
Yeah.
All right. Hey, you're listening to The Show with No Name. Hey, Lee. Sorry about that.
I kind of got us off track there a little bit. Go ahead, Pastor. I just kind of...
Well, we can't possibly be off track when our show doesn't have a name. So.
But to piggyback what he's saying, like I say, the young people I talk to, that's almost exactly to a T what they're saying.
Yeah.
This is their way of revolting against these CEOs who make billions of dollars every year, but then complain about having to pay $15 an hour. Mm. So
that's what they're doing.
Now,
yeah.
I know the states have taken it upon themselves. Some states have, because I think the federal minimum wage is still, what, $9.50?
Something like that.
Yeah, it just went
so,
up a little bit.
So, you know,
bad.
These states obviously have superseded that... you know, that...
We're in a situation now where a lot of the employees are employers are paying above what the state
gives. Yeah, absolutely.
Even here in Ohio, the state minimum wage is less than $10.
Yes, yes.
It's at $9.
Well, that's what I think. That's what I was going to say. I think now the state is kind of dictating now.
The state's only at $9-something.
Or not the state. I mean, the employers are.
And quite honestly, that's the way it should be. Let the employers do it. The marketplace should determine what a job is worth.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think it's good that we have a situation where employers are paying more than the state minimum wage. Because you want to have the marketplace determine what's a fair wage for a particular
job. Well, but isn't it weird, though, how in the past we looked at those jobs that are paying a lot. Now we looked at those as kind of like, I wouldn't want to do, you know, for example, McDonald's, you always kind of looked at, and now you see McDonald's $15-16 an hour, you know, and the other day I was driving and I almost wrecked. I looked over $19.50 an hour for Taco Bell.
Oh my goodness. Wow. Where was which one?
I don't remember.
Was it in Columbus area?
Yeah.
Columbus area.
I think you started out at 17, but then if you worked this premium shift, you got $2.50 more an hour.
Now, the other thing that's going to happen. You know, the thing you have to be ready for is when they're paying those kinds of wages, now all of a sudden you're going to be paying $3.50 a taco. Yes. And you're going to be paying $9.50 for a Big Mac.
Yes.
And you're going to be paying $4.50 for a Coke.
Yeah, I'm waiting on that to happen. Yeah, because I, you know, I'm sure somewhere along the line it's going to trickle down to us somewhere. It always does.
Yeah, it always does.
But in the meantime, I mean, it's just it's unbelievable. I was talking to the HR lady at Kroger, and she said she had to throw away 20 applications. She said that people only wanted to work 11 to 3, and I said, you know what? That's the new way of the world now, man. Mm-hmm. I said, if you want to get young people, that's, you know, my I was talking to a friend of mine. He lives in Columbus. He's an event planner is what he did. He can do everything from like DJ services to, you know, to everything. And he said, man, I had to totally restructure my business. He said, used to. He said, I would DJ a wedding. He said, usually they'd want me there at 5 o'clock until like midnight or 1. He said, now they want me to come in at 7 or 8 o'clock at night and be tore down by 11 or 12.
Yeah.
But they want to pay the same price. And he's like, whoa, no, you know. And he said, now they're upset with me because, of course, now I got to charge more because they want me there for only a few, you know, a few hours. But they want the same amenities and everything that they had before, you know. And he said, so he's had to totally restructure his business.
Amazing the way things are changing up.
Yeah.
Yes, they are. Hey, I got a question for you.
Yeah.
Question for you, Nate. Your recipes that you do every week, you do a, you know, recipe on the,
right,
on the trivia show. Do you test every recipe first, or do you test some of them, or
no, just some of them. Some of them. Yep, I don't.
You haven't
don't
never
test
seen him
everyone.
Live at Costco. He gets everything from Costco. And he doesn't make any of that stuff.
Don't test everyone, but I do make some of them. And see how they are. They come from a link that's linked up to my website. There's a website out there that's really great called myfoodandfamily.com, and you can get any sort of recipe you want under the sun. Mm. So I'm always out there looking for something that might interest a lot of people, and some that don't interest me so much, but
now,
some that might interest
now, Nate,
a lot
it,
of
has it been tougher for you, though, being on this weight watch? I mean, to find recipes like that? Or,
yeah,
I mean,
we've had to change our whole way
that's
of
what I thought.
Eating
I mean, well,
with
I mean,
the Weight Watchers.
Well, but I mean,
so, but the weekends, we still...
But what I mean is, I mean, are you still implementing that same philosophy, even though technically you guys can't eat it? Would you still do the recipe for?
Oh yeah.
Or are you guys still? Or are you still trying to pick stuff within your?
Yeah. Well, the recipes, the recipes I do aren't necessarily in the Weight Watchers points.
I gotcha. I gotcha. Well, what, I mean, as far as what are you guys up? You guys got to be up to a lot as far as what you've lost now. What have you guys lost?
Now I've lost since the beginning.
Listen to this, everybody.
I've lost close to 100 pounds.
Wow.
Since I've began.
That's great.
I was
That's great.
Pretty
Nate.
Big
That's good.
To begin with. Now I've got a long ways to go before my goal weight. My wife has actually hit her goal weight.
Well, but what Nate didn't tell you was 50 pounds of it was his gallbladder. No. I'm just
yeah, right. Yeah, 50 of it was my gallbladder when they took that out.
I'm just kidding you. They said it was the biggest gallbladder.
No, they said it was the biggest gallbladder they'd ever seen.
Well, all them stones maybe was weighing you down.
Yeah, the stones. It was full of stones.
Yeah.
It really was.
Said he had 4,500. No, I'm just kidding.
No, I'll tell you, surgery is something to get prepared for something like that. Oh man, we had to check in, of course, ahead of time. But I mean, this is maybe TMI, but I mean, they shave your stomach.
Did they do
it
laparoscopic? Did they do it with the?
Yeah, they did it with the robot.
Robot, yeah.
With the robot.
They did my hernia surgery that
way. Okay.
Yeah.
And they put this. You wake up with a tan on your stomach. You look like you've been tanned because they put this cream all over you for whatever reason, and you look like you have a tan. I'm like, hey, now I look like I've been tanning, man. I look good.
Well, my thing was that I was so worried about was they were going to have to put that tube down my throat.
So
and the doctor basically said, we can do it the easy way, or we can force it. So my first question, of course, when I come to, was I was like, did I do okay? And he's like, you did fine. I said, oh, man. I was so worried about that I wouldn't, because I have a small esophagus, and I was so worried that I was geez, man.
You got a small
I
you
do.
Got a small esophagus?
I do. Well, they said it's common with it. They said it's common with, you know, large people. They said sometimes you have, you know, and I have one of these small esophaguses. And, you know, and.
Yeah, they still, you know, they even though with the weight loss, you know, they still consider me, you know, borderline obese or whatever.
Sure, sure.
So they have to, do all the extra precautions and everything, make sure. And then, of course, I have sleep apnea, too.
Me too.
Yeah, so I had to make sure.
Well, it's like me, the last time I went to the doctor, I couldn't get on the scales there. I had to go to the stockyard, they said, because they said it didn't have
we need you to walk up on that yeah. scale that the truck.
In the meantime, I'm hearing this thing behind me, and I'm what? So, I knew I must have been in the wrong place or something. Right. But then now I got to get, of course, here at the end of February, I got to get this tooth removed. Well, the first thing the guy said, I'm checking off all my medical history, you know, and he's worried about anesthesia because I have sleep apnea, you know. And he's like, Well, we won't be able to put you to sleep. But he said, I got an alternative. He said, we can use this nitrous oxide. And I said, what's that? He said, that's laughing gas. And I said, remember the last time I had that? I mean, I was saying some off the wall stuff, so I think that's the route they're going to go.
Now,
so what I think I might do
is
I might record that. Yeah, I may record that, and then because the last time it was so funny, these nurses last time were just. They couldn't believe it. They had to go get the doctor, and I thought he was dying. Literally.
Join us next Wednesday when 45 minutes of Terry on laughing gas.
Yeah. I can't even begin to tell you what I was. It was horrible. But I mean, it wasn't like I wasn't cursing or anything, but it just some of the things I was talking about. Oh, gosh. Well, you've heard the old saying, he's talking out of his head.
Yeah,
that's what I was doing.
Right.
Yeah.
I've had. 7 teeth removed at the same time when I was younger because they said, hey, we need to get those out of the way because your permanent teeth are coming right now.
Uh-huh.
So I went to – there was a surgeon named Dr. Murphy here in town.
Yeah.
He was really good.
Uh-huh.
And so he would put you under and remove them and then put you in a room for you to recover, you know.
Yeah.
And so I remember going down the hallway and hitting the wall, you know, and eventually got to the room where I could lay down and recover.
Right,
you know?
Right, yeah.
But getting a tooth removed sometimes is a big deal.
Oh, man.
It can be a big deal just for something
like
that.
Well, they went over everything with me, showed me my x-rays and stuff, and the guy said, mine's so bad, he has to do it in 2 different appointments.
Oh, okay.
Because I have to get 8 of them.
You gotta get 8 of them removed?
Yeah.
Oh.
I got terrible teeth, man.
8 of
them. And then I have to go back after that and see my family dentist because I have to get like a bridge put in. And
okay. Why don't you just get all of them pulled and just get false teeth?
Well, that's what I was talking. He said, well, speaking of that, there's one back there that's good. And he said, if that one's good, he said, then he can proceed with the bridge. He said, but if that one's bad, he said, then that's gonna probably lead to dentures. So.
Hmm.
Which, in some ways, I'm kind of looking forward to, just because, like I say, I got terrible teeth, and that's why, you know, my sisters hit the jackpot. They got, you know, but unfortunately, I drew the short straw.
That's because when you were a little child, you weren't brushing your
teeth.
That's right.
But like I say, they have wonderful teeth, but I got bad.
I actually had a tooth growing in the roof of my mouth, and they had to uncover it and pull it forward with braces.
Oh, gosh.
This one right here.
Yeah.
Everybody can see that in radio. But anyways, this one
like
right
me,
here.
Get closer to the microphone.
Right.
What's like me when I got my wisdom teeth pulled, the guy said, well, he goes, good news and bad news. I said, okay, what's that? He said, they came out fine. He said, but the bad news is you had another one growing in on top of – he said, so you actually had 5 wisdom teeth.
Oh, boy.
And I said, really? And he said, yeah, he ended up getting them all. And he said, you know, thank God that they didn't cause – you know, he said they were relatively easy to pull. But I was like, oh, my gosh.
I got another question for you.
Yeah.
Well, actually, it's a comment. It was the recipe that you had a week ago, I think it was. The chicken parmesan.
Yeah, parmesan chicken.
Yeah, I was really interested in that. Now, I haven't done that since, but what you did is what the recipe was, you know, chicken and then coat it in shake and bake.
Shake and bake?
I'd never heard that before because I, you know, I grew up, you know, in the 60s, and I remember when my mom, she used to make that all the time. And she'd, you know, get her crackers and she'd put them in the wax paper and she'd roll them out, you know, and then she'd dip the chicken in the egg and then she'd, you know, flip them around in the crackers that she rolled out. And that was how we had breaded. So even when I make it today, I've always done it that way, the way my mom did.
Sure.
So when I read that and, you know, it was a shake and bake, I thought, wow, that's a heck of a lot easier.
Yeah. It's basically all that done for you.
Yeah. And I'll bet it even tastes pretty good.
Yeah.
If I've got it right, that's one of the recipes my mom has made in the past, and it's good.
Yeah. Well, I know what they do for different things. I mean, they have one, don't they have one for like pork chops and chicken?
Yeah.
And I think there's all kinds of things you can actually do with that. You know, I mean, I'm with you. I remember seeing that. But
shake and bake ostrich.
lobster, lizard.
Yeah. But shake and bake crocodile.
Now, see, my grandma, she was that same way. Like she would make her own breading and stuff, and I mean, I'm talking when she fried chicken, it was. I mean, you talk about some good.
Did she have one of those big old frying pans?
Oh, of course. Oh, and then afterwards, man, we would scoop the the cracklins. I don't know what you call them. I called them cracklins, you know. And
that's
and
the
just,
best part.
And just eat those. And but of course, then you got 10 pounds of grease that came with it. You know, you needed a cardiologist after you.
And that's why you are the way you are.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. God rest her soul. I miss her spaghetti and her.
Now, my grandma used to make something kind of unique. I think it was unique. I never had anybody that I know of make it before. Yeah. But for her mashed potatoes, she would make hamburger gravy.
Oh.
Have you ever had hamburger gravy?
I have.
Either
no.
one of you?
I've never even heard of it.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. She'd just make
My grandma would do that. She, and then sometimes in the morning, she would actually do like bologna gravy.
Really?
What? Yes.
Huh.
True story.
I'd like to try that.
Now, because what she did.
GNR.
Because what she did.
There you go.
Well, what she did was that she would make biscuits and gravy, but she would substitute the bologna instead of sausage.
Oh, okay.
So technically it was sausage biscuit, but just minus the sausage.
So it was a white gravy? A white gravy just had bologna in it.
Yeah.
That's of course, served it for breakfast.
Yeah. Like, so she'd make these biscuits. That would rise like. You wouldn't
Poor
believe. Yeah. Because I think with her and Crisco, I think we're like best friends. So she used like a ton of Crisco, which, like I say, once again, can attribute to why I'm where I'm at. But anyway, and I mean, she would make a pan of these and they would literally rise 4 inches. They were huge. And it was just, she made just some unusual gravies, and that was one of the gravies that she made that my grandfather, it was my step grandpa, boy, he loved it.
Oh, I'll bet.
She made it for him a lot, and I had to ask her one day. I said, what is that? And I tried it, and boy, oh, boy. Because keep in mind, everything she made, like I say, she never looked at a recipe card. I mean, it was just totally from scratch. She was one of these little 4'11", little Kentucky women, just, you know, and she just made everything. She didn't believe in a recipe.
Didn't even follow one. Just a pinch of this and a pinch of that.
My mother was that way. She never followed a recipe. She never measured out the ingredients.
Yep.
And she just knew how much.
Yep.
She cooked six nights a week.
Okay.
You know, all the time.
Yeah.
She's always cooking. And she didn't have a recipe card. She didn't measure out the ingredients, but it was always good.
I know. My grandma passed away at 84, and literally she probably cooked up till she was 83.
Yeah.
I mean, I could call her on the phone and say, you know what, man, I'm really craving something. And she'd say, next day she'd call me, and she lived at Seton Square. Come up, pick it up.
It would be absolutely
perfect.
So who does all the cooking at your house?
Well, recently my
Kentucky Fried Joe.
I was doing all of it probably up until December. But lately, my wife and I have been splitting it because we've been trying some newer stuff, some different recipes to try to change things up a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So she'll throw something in there and she'll try something, and then I'll say, okay, I'm gonna try it tonight. So then I'll try something. Tonight we're having some sort of a chicken bowl with some rice and chicken, grilled chicken. There's some grilled chicken that you can actually get from Kroger, and it's tough to find. It runs out quite a bit, but you can find it if you're lucky. But it's 0 points on Weight Watchers.
Mm.
Okay. No matter how much you eat, you get on Weight Watchers and you put up, okay, 1 cup, 2 cup, 3 cup, and it's still 0 points. Oh. So certainly it's points at
But then
some
you put
point.
Add butter, add sour yeah. cream, add
and then we'll just add things in it that are low in points, like reduced fat salsa.
Okay.
Yeah, you know, reduced fat sour cream, stuff so like that.
Chicken bowl, that's tonight, huh?
That's tonight.
Good. Sounds maybe, good.
Maybe I'll skip prayer meeting.
You're going to skip your prayer meeting. Come on down.
Yeah.
Hey, we got another call coming in. Let's see who's on the line on the show with no name, WWGH 107.1. Hi, we're on the air.
Yeah, when you're cooking like that, you can get by without a recipe and, you know, kind of cooking to taste better than when you're baking.
That's true. That's true.
When you're baking, you know, it's pretty critical to weigh everything out.
Well, like I say, and you're 100% right, but I thought that too. But like I say, until I was younger, my grandma she could do and didn't. I mean, biscuits, whatever it was, and they'd be perfect.
Yeah, but it's true. You do have to measure things out when you're baking. Because
you gotta be a little bit more.
Yeah, you got to be a little bit more exact.
With her, it was always Martha White.
You can't wait until the cake's baked and then taste it and say, I think this needs more salt.
Right. Sure. Yeah.
Yep. That's true.
Yep.
Okay, I just wanted to point that out.
All right. Thank you for calling.
Yep.
But with her, it was always, she had to have that Martha White. Is it Martha White? The flour? Yeah. She had to have that. Like, she couldn't use gold medal or whatever. It had to be that Martha, you know, and she was amazing, man.
My grandma on my mom's side, my grandma Penn, she's still living. She's like 93 years old now. But she was famous for breakfast making potato cakes. Oh. She would take leftover mashed potatoes, add in a lot of pepper, which ended up tasting good, and fry these potato cakes right before we go on a fishing trip with Grandpa. Mm-hmm. And they would just taste really good. And I've never had anybody else make potato cakes either. I'm sure people do.
Yeah.
But her potato cakes were just on point. Yeah. Grandmothers have some good recipes. Oh, yeah. They knew how to cook back in the day.
You know,
that people don't now. But,
one more thing, my grandma and me and my dad, man, we just absolutely loved it, was when she made homemade like soup beans.
Oh, okay.
I mean, she did this cornbread. So, I mean, it was just unbelievable, you know. She had the ham hock and everything, you know. It was awesome. So me and my dad, that's what we we loved it.
You always talk about restaurants that you and Amber go to,
right?
And you even had a call, you know, in your first hour about restaurant. Where is your favorite place, because you've been to many, where mm-hmm. is your favorite place to go for breakfast?
For breakfast. Now, that one would probably be, believe it or not, here in town, would be Perkins, because they have the Granny's Country Omelette, which is about my favorite thing to have for breakfast. Granny's Country Omelette, you can order it with pancakes if you want, but I usually order it with the wheat toast and the hash browns. And to me, that is one of the best tasting things around. Now, I have heard, and I have not sampled, I've heard that the Marion Diner has a good breakfast, too.
Excellent.
I have never tried it.
I got to tell you, this past Saturday, I was at Marion Diner.
Okay.
We're there once a month.
Okay.
And I was there for breakfast. And they do have good breakfast. Now, I happened to be looking at the omelets, and I noticed something I hadn't noticed before. They have a pizza omelet. And I said, what? And they've got the pizza omelet. It has like onions, mushrooms, green peppers, tomatoes. It has the mozzarella cheese in it. And then it's got marinara sauce. And I thought, I've never heard of a pizza omelet. So I said, I'm going to try it. It was good.
Wow.
It was good. So just keep that in mind at Marion Diner.
Now you've
pizza
been there.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm usually what I get is I'm kind of partial to their biscuit. I like their biscuits and gravy because they got good, like, home fries.
Now, I've heard they got really good deals.
Yeah.
Out there, too.
Yeah. So, Something Good I used to go to a lot when it was open, too. That was probably one of my favorites. Yeah.
Just down here from the station.
Yeah. Well, Colonial House, and I think it was
when
called.
It was Colonial House. Yeah. My aunt worked for it when it was Something Good Family Restaurant.
Yeah.
And it was. I thought it was something good to eat,
man,
for
that,
sure.
That place was delicious, yeah.
But breakfast food, my number one, Perkins. Granny's Country Omelet, my favorite thing to eat. Because every time I've ordered that, it's just been on point. Mm. Just about perfect.
Okay.
Where's your favorite place to go if you want seafood?
Seafood. Let's see. Well, you know, you need to refinance your house if you're going to go here. But a really good fish... fish and chips is at Cheesecake Factory. Fish and chips. Mm. Really, really good. I mean, it's huge. I mean, it might be between $15.99 and $19.99 for the entree, but it's a lot of fish and fish and chips. Well, yeah, I love that.
I tell you where I like for $10, man. You can't be at Steve's Dakota.
Really?
Friday night.
Okay.
AYCE fish.
Okay, all you can eat.
Yeah, I mean, I've went there probably 5 times there, and it's been great.
Wow. Okay.
I mean, now a lot of people are gonna say, why would you go for a steakhouse? You know, but
pretty good.
Yes.
Well, you know, I got something to add to that for fish. If you want good fish, the grilled rainbow trout at Cracker Barrel is dynamite.
Okay.
And Cracker Barrel is very reasonably priced.
Yeah. Right.
And it's not someplace you would think of necessarily for fish.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I get that all the time, the rainbow trout at Cracker Barrels.
Now, how about you guys' favorite steaks?
Oh, man, that's a tough one. Hmm.
There's so many out there.
Steve's Dakota's.
Yeah, I'd probably say that too. I'm partial there. I like the rotisserie chicken there too. I usually get that.
They give you like a whole one, don't they?
Oh, it's like a half.
Or
it's huge. Oh, yeah. Well, then what I do is I'm not a big fry person, so I substitute a baked potato instead of fries.
Now I'm with you there.
Yeah. For me, a sleeper is Applebee's. I think they got good steak.
They do have good steak.
I think they got good steak.
Applebee's has really
good
steak.
When it's prepared right.
Yeah, right.
Same with Steve's Dakota. I've had good, and I've had, I mean, probably 70% of my Steve's Dakota has been great, but then I've had 30% that's been not so good.
Usually, you know, thinking back, basically every time I've had to send something back, the waitresses have been pretty chill about it. Come to think of it, at most places. I'm trying to think of a bad experience, but I really can't think of one. Everybody's been pretty chill about it. You know, say, oh, sorry, we'll get that right.
I'm the guy that orders his steak, you know, just warm it on the outsides.
No.
You know,
oh, you like a rare.
So I just tell them, you know, if it's Steve Dakota's or wherever it would be for steak, I just tell them, as rare as your chef will allow it to go out of the kitchen.
As long as there's no blood on it.
And I'll tell you what, most places will do a good
well,
rare
steak. My thing is, I'm like, burn it.
You're the burn guy.
I like well done.
And I'm medium well, so there
like
we go.
Well
you got all
man.
Three.
Yeah, I like mine well done. I just, you know, and of course they bring it out and then they show you, is this done enough for you? And sometimes I've had to say, can you make it a little more done? and I'm weird like that because with pizzas too, same way. I'm like, can you cook my pizza? Don't burn it, but just cook it a little long, you know, because I've had some where it gets doughy in the middle and, you know, it's because it's not cooked.
Yeah, I've heard you order here at the station. You said, make sure that it's well done, you know.
Yeah, don't burn it.
Make sure it's, yeah. And
I know from experience because I've made a few pizzas when I worked at Star Lanes out there. We had the pizza bowl, and believe me, if they're not cooked thoroughly all the way through, they get real doughy in them, you know. And especially if you have a lot of toppings on there, because you want those toppings to get nice and.
Yeah.
You know, you don't want them burnt, but you want them crisp, I guess is the word.
Pizza, I've heard that pizza is a pretty pretty good profit.
It is, yeah.
It's actually pretty cheap to make.
Oh yeah. Well, when I was out there, I asked the owner one day, and he said it was like $2 or $3 to make a pizza. You know, and of course, sold pizzas for $12 or $15. You know, so
yeah. Yeah, there's some good pizza places around. There really
is. A lot of times I think it's not these chains, though. A lot of times I think it's just these mom-and-pop's places. Of course, Marion has Tubby's, of course, which is phenomenal. I mean, but
yeah,
you know,
I love Tubby's.
There's a Tubby's in Galleon, too.
Yeah, yeah. What is it? Bell Fountain, Galleon, Marysville?
Yeah.
We're going to slip one more call in before we go. Hi, we're on the air.
Yeah, when you're putting toppings on pizzas, you know, like mushrooms, they come in a can and there's water in there.
Right.
You want to drain it. Yeah.
We had a colander. We would pour ours into a colander and drain them.
Yeah, and let it set and let it drain, because if you don't, you know, you can see the water on top of pizza. Yeah. That makes it, yeah.
And then what we did was that when we cooked them, then we would pour oregano. We put oregano on top of it. And
yeah.
That was really nice, too.
Yeah, a little garlic salt. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, now, if you're cutting your vegetables fresh, I mean,
oh, yeah.
You don't have to put olives and stuff like that in your peppers, your mild banana peppers and stuff.
Yeah.
All that stuff comes, you know, in a brine.
Yep.
And you really want to drain them good.
Yeah, yep, absolutely. Drain them first.
Absolutely.
Okay.
All right, take care.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Well, guys, hey, we're just about out of time. Appreciate everybody for listening.
I
good
think we've been all over
guys.
The board today.
Hey, we've touched about everything, and it's been fun. Maybe we'll get together and do it again next week.
Sounds
we just
good.
never know.
Yeah. Don't
never
don't know. Anybody call the station tomorrow and tell Scott what goes on here when he's not here.
Yeah.
Because he's probably working right now.
That's
isn't
right.
He? If he's working, he doesn't know.
Yeah. Well, better yet, maybe we could get him to call in.
Yeah, there you go. Well, stay tuned. There's a lot of great programming straight ahead here on WWGH 107.1 FM, Marion, Ohio. Hey, for Terry Tackett and Pastor Craig, I'm Nate Redmond. Hey, we'll talk to you later, guys.
Bye-bye.
We'll see ya.
In Ohio, for Emmy Award-winning actress and voice of Ursula from The Little Mermaid,